Chapter 12. I felt apprehensive that I was personally interested in this dialogue, and sought Mr. Murdstone's eye as it lighted on mine. "Now, David," apostrophe he said, and I saw that cast again as he said it, "you must be far more careful today than usual." Apostrophe he gave the cane another poise, and another switch, and having finished his preparation of it, laid it down beside him, with an impressive look, and took up his book. This was a good freshener to my presence of mind, as a beginning. I felt the words of my lesson slipping off, not one by one, or line by line, but by the entire page. I tried to lay hold of them, but they seemed, if I may so express it, to have put skates on, and to skim away from me with a smoothness there was no checking. We began badly, and went on worse. I had come in with an idea of distinguishing myself rather, conceiving that I was very well prepared, but it turned out to be quite a mistake. Book after book was added to the heap of failures, Miss Murdstone being firmly watchful of us all the time. And when we came at last to the 5,000 cheeses, canes he made it that day, I remember, my mother burst out crying. "Clara!" apostrophe apostrophe said Miss Murdstone, in her warning voice. "I am not quite well, my dear Jane, I think," apostrophe said my mother. I saw him wink, solemnly, at his sister, as he rose and said, taking up the cane. "Why, Jane, we can hardly expect Clara to bear, with perfect firmness, the worry and torment that David has occasioned her today. That would be stoical. Clara is greatly strengthened and improved, but we can hardly expect so much from her. David, you and I will go upstairs, boy." Apostrophe, as he took me out at the door, my mother ran towards us. Miss Murdstone said, "Clara, are you a perfect fool?" Apostrophe and interferred. I saw my mother stop her ears then, and I heard her crying. He walked me up to my room slowly and gravely. I am certain he had a delight in that formal parade of executing justice, and when we got there, suddenly twisted my head under his arm. Apostrophe Mr. Murdstone. "Sir!" apostrophe I cried to him. "Don't! Pray don't beat me! I have tried to learn, sir, but I can't learn while you and Miss Murdstone are by." "I can't indeed!" apostrophe "can't you, indeed, David?" apostrophe apostrophe he said. "We'll try that." Apostrophe he had my head as in a vice, but I twined round him somehow and stopped him for a moment, entreating him not to beat me. It was only a moment that I stopped him, for he cut me heavily an instant afterwards, and in the same instant I caught the hand with which he held me in my mouth, between my teeth, and bit it through. It sets my teeth on edge to think of it. He beat me then, as if he would have beaten me to death. Above all the noise we made, I heard them running up the stairs, and crying out. I heard my mother crying out and Peggotty. Then he was gone, and the door was locked outside, and I was lying, fevered and hot, and torn, and sore, and raging in my puny way, upon the floor. How well I recollect, when I became quiet, what an unnatural stillness seemed to reign through the whole house. How well I remember, when my smart and passion began to cool, how wicked I began to feel. I sat listening for a long while, but there was not a sound. I crawled up from the floor, and saw my face in the glass, so swollen, red, and ugly that it almost frightened me. My stripes were sore and stiff, and made me cry afresh when I moved, but they were nothing to the guilt I felt. It lay heavier on my breast than if I had been a most atrocious criminal, I dare say. It had begun to grow dark, and I had shut the window. I had been lying, for the most part, with my head upon the sill, by turns crying, dozing, and looking listlessly out, when the key was turned, and Miss Murdstone came in with some bread and meat, and milk. These she put down upon the table without a word, glaring at me the while with exemplary firmness, and then retired, locking the door after her. Long after it was dark I sat there, wondering whether anybody else would come. When this appeared improbable for that night, I undressed and went to bed. And there, I began to wonder fearfully what would be done to me. Whether it was a criminal act that I had committed? Whether I should be taken into custody and sent to prison? Whether I was at all in danger of being hanged? I never shall forget the waking next morning, the being cheerful and fresh for the first moment, and then the being weighed down by the stale and dismal oppression of remembrance. Miss Murdstone reappeared, before I was out of bed, told me, in so many words, that I was free to walk in the garden for half an hour and no longer, and retired, leaving the door open, that I might avail myself of that permission. I did so, and did so every morning of my imprisonment, which lasted 5 days. If I could have seen my mother alone, I should have gone down on my knees to her, and besought her forgiveness. But I saw no one, Miss Murdstone excepted, during the whole time except at evening prayers in the parlor, to which I was escorted by Miss Murdstone, after everybody else was placed, where I was stationed, a young outlaw, all alone by myself near the door, and whence I was solemnly conducted by my jailer, before anyone arose from the devotional posture. I only observed that my mother was as far off from me as she could be, and kept her face another way, so that I never saw it, and that Mr. Murdstone's hand was bound up in a large linen wrapper. The length of those 5 days I can convey no idea of to anyone. They occupy the place of years in my remembrance. The way in which I listened to all the incidents of the house that made themselves audible to me, the ringing of bells, the opening and shutting of doors, the murmuring of voices, the footsteps on the stairs, to any laughing, whistling, or singing outside, which seemed more dismal than anything else to me in my solitude, and disgraced the uncertain pace of the hours, especially at night, when I would wake thinking it was morning, and find that the family were not yet gone to bed, and that all the length of night had yet to come the depressed dreams and nightmares I had the return of day, noon, afternoon, evening, when the boys played in the churchyard, and I watched them from a distance within the room, being ashamed to show myself at the window lest they should know I was a prisoner. The strange sensation of never hearing myself speak, the fleeting intervals of something like cheerfulness, which came with eating and drinking, and went away with it the setting in of rain one evening, with a fresh smell, and its coming down faster and faster between me and the church, until it and gathering night seemed to quench me in gloom, and fear, and remorse. All this appears to have gone round and round for years instead of days, it is so vividly and strongly stamped on my remembrance. On the last night of my restraint, I was awakened by hearing my own name spoken in a whisper. I started up in bed, and putting out my arms in the dark, said, "Is that you, Peggotty?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was no immediate answer, but presently I heard my name again, in a tone so very mysterious and awful, that I think I should have gone into a fit, if it had not occurred to me that it must have come through the keyhole. I groped my way to the door, and putting my own lips to the keyhole, whispered, "Is that you, Peggotty dear?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Yes, my own precious Davy, apostrophe," she replied. "Be as soft as a mouse, or the cat'll hear us." Apostrophe, I understood this to mean Miss Murdstone, and was sensible of the urgency of the case, her room being close by. "How's Mama, dear Peggotty? Is she very angry with me?" Apostrophe, I could hear Peggotty crying softly on her side of the keyhole, as I was doing on mine, before she answered. "No, not very." Apostrophe, "What is going to be done with me, Peggotty dear? Do you know?" Apostrophe, "School. Near London," apostrophe was Peggotty's answer. I was obliged to get her to repeat it, for she spoke it the first time quite down my throat, in consequence of my having forgotten to take my mouth away from the keyhole and put my ear there, and though her words tickled me a good deal, I didn't hear them. "When, Peggotty?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Tomorrow." Apostrophe, "Is that the reason why Miss Murdstone took the clothes out of my drawers?" ...apostrophe which she had done, though I have forgotten to mention it. Yes, apostrophe said Peggotty. Box. Apostrophe, shan't I see Mama? Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe said Peggotty. Morning. Apostrophe, then Peggotty fitted her mouth close to the keyhole, and delivered these words through it with as much feeling and earnestness as a keyhole has ever been the medium of communicating, I will venture to assert. Shooting in each broken little sentence in a convulsive little burst of its own. Davy, dear. If I ain't been exactly as intimate with you lately as I used to be, it ain't because I don't love you just as well and more, my pretty poppet. It's because I thought it better for you and for someone else besides. Davy, my darling, are you listening? Can you hear? Apostrophe, yes, Peggotty. Apostrophe, I sobbed. My own. Apostrophe, said Peggotty, with infinite compassion. What I want to say is that you must never forget me, for I'll never forget you, and I'll take as much care of your mama, Davy, as ever I took of you, and I won't leave her. The day may come when she'll be glad to lay her poor head on her stupid, cross old Peggotty's arm again, and I'll write to you, my dear, though I ain't no scholar. And I'll apostrophe Peggotty fell to kissing the keyhole, as she couldn't kiss me. Thank you, dear Peggotty. Apostrophe said one. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Will you promise me one thing, Peggotty? Will you write and tell Mr. Peggotty and little Emily, and Mrs. Gummidge and Ham, that I am not so bad as they might suppose, and that I sent them all my love especially to little Emily? Will you, if you please, Peggotty? Apostrophe, the kind soul promised, and we both of us kissed the keyhole with the greatest affection. I patted it with my hand, I recollect, as if it had been her honest face and parted. From that night there grew up in my breast a feeling for Peggotty which I cannot very well define. She did not replace my mother, no one could do that. But she came into a vacancy in my heart, which closed upon her, and I felt towards her something I have never felt for any other human being. It was a sort of comical affection too, and yet if she had died, I cannot think what I should have done, or how I should have acted out the tragedy it would have been to me. In the morning Miss Murdstone appeared as usual, and told me I was going to school, which was not altogether such news to me as she supposed. She also informed me that when I was dressed, I was to come downstairs into the parlor and have my breakfast. There, I found my mother, very pale and with red eyes, into whose arms I ran and begged her pardon from my suffering soul. Oh, Davy, apostrophe, she said, that you could hurt anyone I love. Try to be better, pray to be better. I forgive you, but I am so grieved, Davy, that you should have such bad passions in your heart. Apostrophe, they had persuaded her that I was a wicked fellow, and she was more sorry for that than for my going away. I felt it sorely. I tried to eat my parting breakfast, but my tears dropped upon my bread and butter, and trickled into my tea. I saw my mother look at me sometimes, and then glance at the watchful Miss Murdstone, and then look down, or look away. Master Copperfield's box there. Apostrophe, said Miss Murdstone, when wheels were heard at the gate. I looked for Peggotty, but it was not she, neither she nor Mr. Murdstone appeared. My former acquaintance, the carrier, was at the door. The box was taken out to his cart, and lifted in. Clara. Apostrophe, said Miss Murdstone, in her warning note. Ready, my dear Jane, apostrophe returned my mother. Goodbye, Davy. You are going for your own good. Goodbye, my child. You will come home in the holidays, and be a better boy. Apostrophe, Clara. Apostrophe, Miss Murdstone repeated. Certainly, my dear Jane, apostrophe replied my mother, who was holding me. I forgive you, my dear boy. God bless you. Apostrophe, Clara. Apostrophe, Miss Murdstone repeated. Miss Murdstone was good enough to take me out to the cart and to say on the way that she hoped I would repent before I came to a bad end. And then I got into the cart and the lazy horse walked off with it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.